You can't eat 2-day old calzone.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting must-listen episode of the Eirik Huffman Podcast, featuring the King of Pasco County, the curator of Canton, the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. It's Uncle Ira. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how you doing today?
All right. The Bucks are on a roll. I'm not on a roll. I played tennis. Hurt my leg playing tennis over there at the Kemper
today.
I may have to go to see my my primary doctor. I got some kind of groin injury. We're not getting into that at the Kemper. Don't even go there. But I'll tell you where we are going. We're going to Bill Curry Ford, and I'll tell you why.
Cool.
All 2019 vehicles must go at Bill Curry Ford. All of them, Lee. General Manager Sean Sullivan, you know him well. He's a Buck fan. He texts you every other day to talk about the 2020 draft. I mean, this guy's totally into it. He has slashed prices to incredible lows to clear out room for more 2020 inventory. Now is the time to get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Right now. Remember, their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles is in full force. And don't forget, Lee, your trade-in will be a full year older when the calendar turns to January 1st. Get your buns down to BillCurryFord.com or get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford on Dale Mabry. Lee, you and I have been to that showroom. It's a mile north of the stadium, and Sean Sullivan will take very good care of you when he's not talking about the 2020 draft and what Jason Light should have done in the 2019 draft. He's making deals on Fords, and nobody does it better than Sean Sullivan.
The good people at Bill Curry Ford, they're excellent. Sean Sullivan, if there's a bigger Bucks fan, I've not met him. And that's not to disparage anyone. That's just how hardcore Sean is. And I know there's other Bucks fans hardcore like Sean, but if you want to talk Bucks, Sean's the guy to talk to. And if you mention Joe Bucks fan, I know he'll get a little better deal. But that's something significant you just mentioned, Ira. Once January 1st hits, the calendar turns on that car of yours.
No question about it. That's
a big drop in cash. So that's a very, very good point. I never thought of that. But you know, I know you're a tennis guy. Now, for your listeners, there's no BS. You're a hardcore tennis guy. You used to belong to a country club where you played tennis. I don't know if you still do. I don't know if you still go out there or not, but you look like you're a tennis player today, Ira. You have beige Dockers.
Thank you.
You have a light blue windbreaker. You know what? You look like you just stepped off the tennis court. If you had a towel around your neck, you'd look casting
call. Well, that's very nice to say, Lee, but that doesn't explain why my tennis partner today kept turning around to me saying, can't you get the ball over the net, Kaufman? Thought you lost a lot of weight, Kaufman. It looks like you put it back on. So the guy was slapping the sage all around. And I want to make one more point about Sean Sullivan, just in case he's listening to his podcast.
He plays tennis?
Which he does. Listen to this podcast. You got to give him his props. He's in my fantasy football league, which is orchestrated by the great Todd Wright, who's doing a heck of a job on the identity with his handicapping show. You know, so he goes to Amalie Arena on Wednesdays. I go down there on Tuesdays.
By the way, I don't think Russo will kick you off the air if you mention Identity Tampa Bay.
And you
mentioned a video.
And there you go. But Sean Sullivan has made the playoffs in fantasy football. And alas, the Sage, with a 5-8 record, has gone home for the holidays. I left that draft in late August or early September. We did it at Hooters in Hillsborough. I left that draft feeling $1 million. I got a great team. I got Aaron Rodgers. I got Roethlisberger as my backup.
Ooh.
Of course, he went down in
week one.
Yeah. I got Ezekiel Elliott. I got Julio Jones. I got Travis Kelce. I got this. I got that. And at the end of the day, I'm 5-8. 5-8 to Kemper. So I should have took Chris Godwin, and I would have been a happy camper. and that's the way it is.
The reason why I was needling you about your partner, your tennis partner, I thought it was your wife, honest to goodness.
No, absolutely not. Now, of course, with the car accident, she can't be playing right now. She's looking at neck surgery, so we've had a rough year. The other day was a one-year anniversary since the car accident. 1 year. Can't believe it's gone that far. It was a rough year, Lee. It was a rough year. Of course, the Bucks aren't helping by going 2-6 in the first half of the season.
By the way, have you mentioned this on your podcast? The immediate aftermath of the accident, when you were talking with the cop,
that's the calzone story.
That is a scene right out of Seinfeld. It's like Kramer talking to a cop.
We came right from a pizza joint where we had lunch, and I couldn't finish my calzone, so I took half of it home in a box.
Where was it placed?
And for whatever reason, I placed it in the trunk.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Yeah, you know, I moved my my golf clubs and my tennis racket, and I nudged it in there. And then, of course, we get hit from behind, and the whole back smashed in. Car was totaled. It's a three-month-old car.
And, 3 months old.
And the cop arrives on the scene. We were stopped at a light. Cop arrives on the scene, takes all the information down. I believe they cited the driver of the truck. And then I say to the guy, you see my car over there?
The cop?
He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, I can't open the trunk. He goes, so? I said, I got a calzone back there. He goes, where'd you get it? I mean, you can't beat this.
And?
Keep
going. It gets better.
And so I said, Vito's off in Tarpon Springs. Oh, they make a good calzone. He starts making a move towards the back of the truck. He's got a sledgehammer. Oh, take it easy. All of a sudden, the captain comes by, one of his bosses, and says, oh, wait a minute. If you touch that car, by legal definition, you could be liable for something, And he backed off, and it was drivable. I got hit in the back, but it was drivable. So it didn't mess with the gears and everything. I got it home, still couldn't open the trunk. Meanwhile, 2 days went by. Now the calzone is gone. It's toast.
Now, didn't you and the cop actually get in a conversation about who has the best calzones and where to go?
We did, but I was in a hurry because my wife was going to the hospital. Yeah. So I couldn't spend too much time with the calzone.
You guys are talking about where to eat calzones.
And if Larry David was doing another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I would have sent him a script and he would have wrote a whole script about the calzone. Oh, man. I don't know if it's calzone or calzone. But by the time I got it out of there, because I took it to the wreck place, that fixes cars, they couldn't fix it. It was totaled. But they pried the trunk open. And when I walked over there 3 days later to find out that the car was declared total, I saw that the trunk was open. The calzone box was out of there. And it was laying on the floor. And I didn't have the nerve to open the box to see if those clowns ate it after 2 days. You can't eat 2-day-old calzone. You can't do it.
I wouldn't want to try.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of calzones, we got to talk about the Bucks. Now, until we talk about the Bucks present day, we did not refer to this in your previous podcast. And I think we were amiss. We should have done it. The NFL Network, NFL Films, has their top
Well done, Lee. Well done. Well done.
In the first century of football. To say it's an exclusive club is an understatement.
The first segment was running backs a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they first was running backs. No, James Wilder was not among them. But, and that's not, I'm not knocking James Wilder, I'm just saying.
And Rojo didn't make it, right?
No, Rojo was not among them. This past Friday, they had linebackers and defensive line.
That's right.
And I want to say,
I think they picked 12 of each.
Yeah, 12 of each, which 12 of the best defensive linemen and 12 of the best linebackers in 100-year history of the NFL, that's beyond exclusive.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you didn't make it, that's not a knock on you. That's, of course, 2 Bucks players were named to these teams. And one of the defensive linemen was Leroy Salomon. One of the linebackers was Derek Brooks. First off, talk about Salomon. I call him Mr. Buccaneer because he was the very first player drafted. He's in the Hall of Fame, clearly. And now he's in this elite group of players. And I do mean elite.
You know, Lee, it's even more exclusive than it seems on the surface because they broke it up into 6 defensive ends and 6 defensive tackles and 6 outside linebackers and 6 middle linebackers. Leroy Salomon was named one of the 6 best defensive ends in 100 years of football. I believe Ray Lewis, I think, was in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ray Lewis is no expert on Leroy Salomon.
But Joe Green was.
Joe Green. I think it was Joe Green that said he's the best 3-man defensive end that's ever played the game.
Yeah.
And that's quite a statement coming from Joe Green.
Coming from arguably the best defensive tackle. You know. But what's significant about when Joe Green said that, Bill Belichick was in the studio, and Belichick held up his right hand. He goes, I second that.
You're absolutely right, Lee. And Belichick was with the Giants in the late 70s, early 80s when Salomon was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally speaking, my timing was awful because I arrived in Florida 1985, January, February. Guess who had just retired? Leroy Salomon.
Oh, wow.
John McKay had just retired.
Oh, did he?
So I was welcomed into this beautiful area to live by a 2-14 Lehman Bennett team. And the following year, 2-14. Thank you, Lehman Bennett.
You did see someone play, though, didn't you not?
Well, on occasion, UPI sent me down for the Buck Eagles NFC playoff game. This is the 79
Bucks. I didn't know that, really.
And I came the following week when they played the Rams in the NFC championship game.
And I was upset when he beat the Eagles, right?
It was an upset. Yeah. The Eagle, you know, and the next year, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. So the Eagles had a very good team.
That's right. They did. They had
Jaworski, Wilbert Montgomery, Carmichael. Mm-hmm. They had good players. The Bucks played a great game and beat them. Ricky Bell was huge. And, of course, Selman. The one thing about Selman, and I talked to Derek Brooks about this the other day. I said, you know, I don't think Leroy Selman was ever single blocked. I mean, ever, because it was only a three-man
line. I don't ever remember
that. And he always played the right side, right defensive end. Brooks said, you're absolutely right. Now, of course, Brooks got to know him once he got to town. Brooks and of course, the USF connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Selman, as off the field, gentle as a lamb.
Yeah, he was.
What a gentleman. But played with I wouldn't call him a dirty player.
No.
But he was aggressive, as he should be. Just a fantastic player. Now, when I was talking to Brooks about Selman, Brooks had a little bit of regret came across his face. His man Sapp didn't make it. And he was a little bit upset about it. But Lee, when you're only picking six defensive tackles, you got Joe Green. You got Bob Lilly. I mean, these guys are monsters.
Bob Lilly dominated.
Merlin Olsen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a slight on Sapp.
I don't think so either.
Alan Page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a slight on Warren Sapp.
Those are four giants.
You know, they're giants of the game.
Yeah.
So Sapp didn't make
it. I remember Lilly. He absolutely dominated. He was a reserved guy, even though he played for such a team like the Cowboys. But
arguably the best player in Cowboys history. And that's saying a mouthful. If I take him over Emmitt Smith, I would take
the only one you might be able to argue with is Roger Staubach.
You could make a case for Staubach,
but they both played together too. Yeah, you know,
and who? And by the way, I think the guy that replaced Lilly also made it, which is Randy White, the
manster.
They called him the manster.
The manster.
Now, I think you could argue Randy White and Sapp. I think that's a decent argument. You could. You know, Sapp's a two-time All-Decade player. Very rare.
Now, Randy White, wasn't he initially a linebacker? A middle linebacker?
You might be right. He might have come out as a linebacker, but he was a fantastic defensive.
Oh my gosh,
backer.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember Bob Lilly that you didn't go inside.
Doomsday defense.
The doomsday defense. The signature play that I remember Bob Lilly. I remember watching this as a little kid, was when he ran down Bob Greasy in the Super Bowl.
Oh boy, that must have been a 35-yard loss.
Yeah.
There's another famous play about Lilly
throwing the helmet in the air.
Yeah, throwing the helmet in the air.
And then when he lost the Super Bowl, the Colts.
That was a terrible Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was Super Bowl V. Terrible game.
What you said about Brooks saying he was never single covered, it didn't matter if he was double teamed. That's how good he was. You double teamed, it didn't matter. He still got to the... He was often triple teamed.
And that was a good Buck defense. He was certainly the key player.
Yeah.
You know, I congratulated Brooks. We did a separate segment. We usually do two segments. Mm-hmm. We did a third one just on this announcement that you're talking about. Brooks, and I said to Derek, look, he never thought about himself, Lee, all those years with the Bucks. He was called the Don, you know, in reference to the Godfather. Mm-hmm. I'm the leader of this defense, and I got to get everybody in line. Well, when it came time for a gold jacket, he had to start thinking about Derek Brooks. And it was very different for him. Mm-hmm. That whole year, he was thinking about himself and his accomplishments. And it was quite an adjustment. Well, here he goes again to be named to this prestigious team. And I said to him, with the cameras rolling, Lee, and he got emotional. I said, how does it feel to be mentioned in the same sentence as Lawrence Taylor, Bobby Bell, Ted Hendricks, Jack Ham? And Jack Ham was his role model.
And Lambert.
Lambert's the middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. But Jack Ham.
Oh, that's right, the outside.
You know, and Lee, you know this story. When Dungy came to town, 1996, replaced Sam Weiss. Sapp and Brooks had already been here. They were drafted in 95. First meeting, Brooks pulls Sapp and Brooks aside. I mean, it's a famous story. Dungy pulls him aside. He looks Sapp in the eye. You're going to be my Joe Green. He looks at Brooks. You're Jack Ham, and we're going to kick butt. That's as far as Dungy will say, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Ham was fantastic in coverage, as was Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most physical guys, but fast, you know, instinctual. The Bucks have two guys on that list. That's impressive. Now,
yeah, here's Bucks given their history, and they've only been around since the 70s.
That's right. Unfortunately, Lee, and this is going to take me to a guy that you talk about a lot, and you watch him a lot, and he's got a little thing for the Bucks. and that's Peter Schrager.
Mm-hmm.
And you sent me a video of him talking up Rondé Barber and listing his fantastic statistical accomplishments, and didn't even, you know, mention on the grease board what a fantastic run defender Rondé was. Mm-hmm. You know,
really good tackler.
Yeah, when you compare him, like Deion Sanders didn't want to tackle anybody, but he was so fantastic at coverage, nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Barber's one of the best tackling cornerbacks we've ever seen, besides all his other accomplishments. And Schrager was bemoaning the fact that Rondé is not even on the list. Lee, it might be 30 defensive backs, mm-hmm. that it's going to be cut down probably to 12 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He's not even on the list of 30, and Schrager thought that was a mistake. And by the way, neither is Lynch. You know, but
the all-time guys.
But Polamalu is, mm-hmm. and I think that's important, Lee, because some of the guys that voted for this top 100 team, they're Hall of Fame voters.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, not all of them. And so they put Polamalu as a finalist. He's not even in the hall yet because he's up this year.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of is a pretty good indication that he's getting in as a first-time eligible.
Yeah. Now, so, Ed Reed is in that group as well, isn't he?
Ed Reed got in last year, but Ed Reed's in the group.
The 100 group, yeah.
Yes.
Of the top.
He's one of Belichick's favorite players of all time, Ed Reed. Belichick loves talking about Ed Reed. And that, you know what? That's high praise.
When Belichick anoints you, so to speak.
Now, your Bucks have won 3 of 4, Lee. I don't think it's crazy to think they're going to win 3 of the last 4. That would give them a 6-2 mark. Lee, we've seen this before, where they've teased us.
Yes, that's why I'm still leery.
Does this one start to have a different feel? Well, what do you think?
They got
big decisions to make, too.
Yeah, you know what? I have to be honest with you. It's like the forbidden fruit. This team, I don't want to bite that apple. But you don't really think of Chris Russo and eloquence in the same sentence. But Chris Russo eloquently said, this team does not handle prosperity well. I'm with him in the sense that I don't want to get teased. I want to see it. You know, I don't think the Colts are a pushover. I really don't. They're not out of the playoffs yet. They're dangling on the edge.
But you've waited all year for this defense to come around, and now there's signs that they are coming around.
If they beat the Colts, now that Jacoby Brissett, I don't know if Jacoby Brissett's better than Jameis.
They're really hungry. Don't. They're fighting for a playoff spot.
They're fighting for a playoff spot. So, you know, this defense is good. It's one thing to shut down Nick Foles and his Minshew character.
I never thought Fournette was going to hurt the Bucs. I just didn't.
Because
the Bucs have that strong run defense, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, if they stopped Derrick Henry, and they did, I wasn't really totally...
He's killing people. Derrick Henry's running over everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, he's the Bucs have a good run defense. So if the Bucs stopped Derrick Henry, which they did, I wasn't really scared of Fournette. I really wasn't. So, but, you know, it's one thing to shut down defensively, specifically the secondary, Nick Foles and Minshew. It's a different animal. You know, Jacoby Brissett is an okay quarterback. I think he's showing why he's a backup. I think the Colts are missing Andrew Luck.
Marlon Mack's hurt.
He's returned to practice. Doesn't mean he'll play, but he's returned to practice.
He had a fractured hand, I believe.
Yeah, so we shall see.
You know, Lee, I want to make one point about the running game because some fans out there, our listeners, and you've heard them, they say, you know, hey, it's a passing league. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. throwing 35, 40 times a game. So what that you don't run the ball that well? Well, Lee, last week was a perfect example of how it hurts you, having a subpar ground game. A 25-0 halftime lead, you want to control the clock and run the football.
Push the game.
And the Bucs couldn't do it, and they did virtually nothing offensively in the second half.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was a bad game for Jameis. I didn't think Jameis played that well. Now, the purists will say, oh, yeah, he played well. He didn't throw a pick. And Arians yesterday in his sit-down with Dan Lucas was saying, hey, you know, the fact that Jameis spread the ball around to all these receivers, that's evidence of him making the right decisions, not trying to go for the bomb. I guess, you know, even Arians said there's one time he threw to O.J. Howard when he had Perriman for a touchdown. And Arians was saying, oh, that was a good game. Well, I guess so, but to me, results is a good game. And yeah, they won, don't get me wrong, but I just thought it was a very pedestrian effort offensively for Jameis. I thought it was a typical subpar game for the running attack, but I've come to expect that because it's not a good running game.
Would you call the acquisition of Shaq Barrett the free agent steal of 2019? Could you make that argument?
I don't know if steal is the proper word. Shock? No one expected
this. Todd Bowles liked this guy. Todd Bowles was a big factor.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know that. You know, and I know you have your sources that could be true.
Just a super short break here, Bucks fans, from Ira Kaufman to remind you that Pin Chasers has daily specials every single day. Cyber Bowling is up on Friday. Bowl, dance, eat, drink with your friends and or family, or meet somebody new. Pin Chasers is so much fun. Crazy lights, Friday nights. 2 hours of bowling is $14.49 for kids and $15.49 for adults. Shoes are always free. Unlimited bowling starts at 10:30 at the Tampa locations or 10 o'clock in East Pasco County. Pinchasers.net, you'll see all the daily specials, including the Sunday Breakfast Bowl, unlimited bowling and breakfast. Great thing to do before the Bucks game. Pinchasers.net, that's the website. Reserve a lane, reserve your holiday party. Pinchasers is where it's at. Now, the podcast, we appreciate all the listeners. You can subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. There are other platforms. That just gets you a free alert when the podcast drops. And then you got it in your phone, and it's easy to listen to. Or, of course, like most people do, you listen right at joebucksfan.com. Ira, not this Sunday, a week from Sunday, Buffalo Wild Wings in Sarasota, University Park area. We'll talk more about it next week. That is the final road tour for Ira and Buffalo Wild Wings. Last stop, last Bucks road game. But, of course, all Bucks games, and you can watch all the NFL games at Buffalo Wild Wings all the time. Great fun, great time. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford, our presenting sponsor. You heard about those deals, and they are incredible. This is the end of the year. The time to buy a Ford is now. BillCurryFord.com. It's back to Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Enjoy.
I don't know if steal is an accurate word. Signing of the year, sure, but steal is like you knew what was coming. Well, the Bucks admitted they didn't know what was coming.
All right, speaking of Barrett, now, Lee, I'll go first on this. This is setting up to be one hell of an offseason. I mean, Buck fans are scared. They're nervous because all these guys can walk, including Nassib, Sue, certainly. Of course, you got Barrett and JPP. I mean, that's a big load to handle. Let's talk about this franchise tag because, Lee, I don't think it's going out on a limb to think either Barrett or Winston are going to be franchised. Or one of these two.
You can only use one player.
One of these two are going to be franchised.
Yeah, I think that's clear.
I think that's clear. Could Barrett be a one-year wonder?
Could.
He could. And here's another point. Suppose you let these guys go. Suppose JPP walks. Mm-hmm. Him in particular more than Sue. Well, Lee, you saw it, and I saw it. 3 or 4 games there, Barrett's production went down before JPP came around and once everybody knew what was going on with Barrett. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to pay attention to this guy. Once JPP rejoined the team, Barrett's production went back up. That could be a factor going forward because maybe, if this guy wants $18 million and there's no JPP, I think that's a tough spot for the Bucks.
Yeah, and I think you have to factor in Sue as well. Now, Sue hasn't been the Sue of his youth when he was dominant sack guy.
He's been okay.
He's been good. He's been excellent against the run. There's no doubt about it. Excellent against the run. And I guess you could throw Nassib in there as well. Now, that's a lot of money there. A lot of important decisions. I don't think Nassib is going to break the bank. I'm not so sure JPP will break the bank for a couple reasons. One, he's old for NFL. He's the young pup to us, but he's NFL circles. He's an old beard.
Would you agree that the Bucks would miss JPP in the locker room as a leader?
I agree.
Yeah, I think he would.
And just today, I was in the locker room today, and I think Jenna asked a question, and I think it was from a recording that Steve had. Now, we didn't blow it up because it was kind of unfair to blow it up, but Steve, after the Tennessee loss, was interviewing Lavonte David. And in the background, clear as day, you could hear JPP just outraged that there were some players, and we don't know who it is. JPP was outraged that there was at least one player yucking it up in the locker room after a loss about how he was going to, his mind was on a conquest about a certain flavor of women. And it really, really disturbed JPP because they just lost, and he's talking about...
Boy, you're walking a fine line over here, DeKeptor.
Darn right I am. Woo. But it's clear, JPP, it's clear it's JPP's talking about this in the background of Steve interviewing Levante David. Now, Steve caught this by accident. He wasn't trying to do a gotcha with JPP, but I'm pretty sure Jenna got that from that recording, you know, about you being upset about after a loss. And people can go back. It's on JoeBucksFan.com. It's still there. Audio is still there. And JPP said a few things that we cannot repeat on a family-oriented podcast like yours.
Understood.
But it was clear it bothered him. And JP was talking about, you know, you shouldn't do that. But also JPP admitted, you know what? This is the NFL today. The young guys, they're for whatever reason, bad, good, indifferent, don't get outraged about a loss. They should. I agree. And fans go nuts about that. And I'm totally agree with that. You know, if you lose, you're getting paid. You should, as JPP talked about, when he came to the league, he said, after a loss, dudes were punching lockers. Dudes were getting in fights with teammates.
You know what the Bucks need? They need guys
like JPP
that are pissed off more about losses than exult more after wins. That's what you need.
Yes.
And that's rare, but they need guys like that.
Which is JPP.
Now, you mentioned Levante David. Lee, this very well, and I'm not wishing this happens, but he could easily be bypassed again for the Pro Bowl. I mean, it could happen because you would think Barrett's going to make the Pro Bowl. How could Barrett not make the
exactly.
Pro Bowl?
Exactly. Guy's leading the league in
sacks. So, you know, people are going to look at a defense that's, where's the Buck defense now? 25?
I'm not sure.
Whatever. And then, you know, probably not going to get two linebackers if you consider Barrett a linebacker.
Yeah, him and Levante.
You know, so I could see David getting screwed over once
unfortunately,
again.
Yes.
And
but what's working in his favor, and I have to give him credit, it was Greg Allman that pointed out. Now, last week, I showed up Friday at practice, and I asked Arians about Levante David and potentially making the Pro Bowl. And I asked Arians, like, you know, what's Levante David meant to your team? And Arians just raved because I can't put it into words what he's meant to this team. You know, leadership, he said. And then I asked him, would you be shocked or surprised if he wasn't in the Pro Bowl? I asked him, would you be surprised? And Arians said, shocked. And Arians went on a little campaign stoop. That's not what I'm thinking, but a stump. That's it. He went on a stump speech about how Levante should be in a Pro Bowl. But what will help Levante is, in the past, Levante, you know, was an outside linebacker. Well, most people look at outside linebackers and look at sacks.
Yes.
And that wasn't what Levante David was asked to do. Well, Levante David is now an inside linebacker.
So you got Keekly.
Yeah.
You always got Keekly. Mm-hmm. He's always there.
And has Keekly had an outstanding year?
And by the way, Lee, speaking of Keekly, mm-hmm. we got a little news within the NFC South this week with the dismissal of Ron Rivera. I'm going to say right up front, Lee, you might disagree with me, I think the guy's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have overwhelming talent. Now, one thing it's going to mean is Gerald McCoy's got a new coach again next year. And by the way, can you have a quieter year than Gerald McCoy? I don't hear a peep about this guy.
Well, I don't know if he's quiet or not. The Panthers are doing a good job sacking the quarterback, and McCoy's got a lot of sacks this year. So I don't know if he's quiet.
Well, they ain't doing much as a football team.
As a team, no. As a team, no. But they are doing a good job sacking the quarterback. They're one of the top teams in sacking the quarterback, and McCoy's right in the middle of that. So I don't know if that's.
Well, he didn't have one. He had like one after five games.
It's quiet if you consider an NFL Network quiet. Yeah. Because they're losing. NFL Network doesn't focus on losing teams. I get that.
You know, Lee, remember when you boys sent me to Atlanta for a May meeting?
Yeah.
And I was able to get some time with the Glazers. It was a couple of years ago. Well, at that particular meeting, they introduced the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. Guy's name is David Tepper. And, Lee, it will come as no surprise to you. How do you make his money? Hedge fund manager.
Well, that's a surprise or not.
I mean, that's what, you know, that's what you do. You're a hedge fund manager. That's what Jeff Vinnick was. Hedge fund manager. You know, Vinnick made $800 million. This guy might have made $900
million. Oh, after the podcast, I got
to
tell you something.
So he went to the podium, Tepper, in Atlanta, and I could tell right away that this guy was not going to be a patient owner. First thing he was talking about was maybe playing some games outside of Charlotte. Elsewhere in North Carolina. I mean, it's like...
Right?
The guy just got the job. Yeah, he just took over
the team. It's not like they're having trouble drawing crowds.
You know, and do you really have to fire Rivera before the season's over? I mean, do you have to?
I mean, he explained why. It was basically like, look, I wasn't going to bring the guy back, so why keep the guy hanging? And what are you trying to distract? Ira, you're trying to distract me here. He's pointing at a lovely woman. Come on, Ira. Focus.
Keep trucking, Lee.
What is the Bucks we're talking about? Boy. Yeah, come on. Calm down. Calm down here, Ira.
I was talking about a hedge fund manager. That's all, huh? That's all I'm thinking about.
That's a different kind of hedge fund there.
I understand.
The suitor of this woman you pointed out happens to be a man of means, and he's a pilot. So
you're a man of means.
Not that means. Dude, I all the money in my bank, I don't think I could pull something like that. So let it calm down here.
Don't you have a paper airplane flying around in the basement?
Yeah, I do.
You know, here's another depressing aspect of this Bucs season. And I know they've won 3 or 4, but they're not making the playoffs. And to me, if you're not contending for a playoff spot in December, it's a bad season.
Whoa.
They're not making the playoffs, DeKemper. They're not making it.
I wouldn't bet money on it, but I'm not closing the door on a season yet. Come on, Ira.
What's their percentage? 2? I mean, now, come on, Lee.
So they should fold up the tent?
I didn't say fold up the tent. I said they're not making the playoffs. It's 98-2.
If you're saying right now, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's a good gamble, but if you're saying right now they're not making the playoffs, then basically what you're saying is they should start sitting Winston.
I didn't say that.
You're saying right now they're not making the playoffs, so I can only logically conclude that they should be playing for next year, playing for the draft.
Well, you're assuming Winston's not going to be here next year.
I don't know that.
Well, I don't know that either. So Winston plays.
Does he?
Winston plays.
Well, if he plays, that tells me...
They're still evaluating him.
Still.
You got to play him.
Whoa. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but...
You got to play him if you want to evaluate him.
Jameis Winston has played 4 years...
Doesn't matter. He's only played 12 games. In Arian's mind.
So you
only played 12 games.
You think the book is still out on Jameis coming back to the Bucks? You don't think they've come to a decision yet? When I say they, I'm talking about the Glazers as well. The Glazers, Jason Light, and Bruce Arians. You think the book is still out on Winston?
Quarter of the season left, my friend. Quarter of the season.
I'm surprised to hear this, Ira.
Well, you want to play Ryan Griffin that next week.
I don't.
Oh, of course you think the Bucks will make the play. Lee, they'd have to win out and then get all kinds of help. I mean, come on now. Come on. Let's be a realist here.
I am a realist. And when I say I'm a realist, I'm also saying I would not lay money on the Bucks to make the playoffs. But I don't think they should fold the tent. If I knew they were going to make the playoffs a month ago, I didn't think they had a snowball's chance.
All I said is it's been a disappointing season. You can't argue that. They're 5-7. It's a disappointing season.
So far. But I'm not saying it's disappointing so far, but I'm not ready to close the book on the season.
That's a subject for another...
Now, by the way, I'm of the mind you either play for the playoffs or play for the draft. And yes, I said...
You said 2 weeks ago, fold your tent.
Yeah. Now here we are 2 weeks later, and all the teams that I expected to be in the playoffs are choking like dogs.
Well, Minnesota's still 8-4. I mean, they're 8-4.
Yes, you know. The Cowboys are tanking. Not tanking on purpose, but they're circling the drain. You know, Jerry Jones is all but saying Jason Garrett's fired.
But Dallas is not a factor in the wild card. They're not going to be a factor. They're out of the wild card situation.
You think so?
They either win the division or whatever. They're
Eagles
out.
Are stinking up the joint.
You're forgetting about the Seattle-San Francisco loser, the second-place team. They got 10 wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bucks are 5-7. So that leaves Minnesota. You're fighting Minnesota. You're fighting Minnesota.
Basically. You know, like I said, the Rams are choking like dogs. The Eagles are circling the drain. The Cowboys, I think, are circling the drain. They're not playing well. And here the guy, owner, all but saying, I'm firing Jason Garrett. He hasn't said that yet, but he stopped just short. You know, when they say, I think Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. What's this?
you're counting on Minnesota to lose 3 of the last 4 and the Bucks to win out.
Well, the Bucks have to win out. And
Bucks have to win out.
And that's a mountain to climb. I have to admit, that's a mountain to climb. But if you don't think the Bucks are making the playoffs, then you should sit Winston.
I disagree, Lee. It's a subject we'll revisit on Sunday night. And speaking of Sunday,
but you now also with Winston, number one, you don't think the decision's made.
I don't think it's necessarily been made. No, I really don't. 12 games in, I think Arians isn't going to count anything he did for Dirk Cutter. He's not going to count it.
Wow,
it's all about 2019.
What in 4 games can Jameis do? If you're undecided,
he can throw 11 picks. That's what he can do.
Okay. So you're so you think that very much that in the last four games he can make or break his days with the Bucks.
I think they're leaning towards keeping him. I will say that.
Now, you've always been a big believer, and I think you've gotten this straight from one of the Glazer family members. You've always used the term arrow pointing up. And I think you got that from Joel Glazer, did you not?
Yeah,
he used those actual words.
Yes.
So the next four games is very much an arrow maker for Jameis. Arrow pointing up, arrow pointing down.
I don't think it's a decision maker for Arians. I don't think there's any chance Arians is getting fired. But I do throw out the thing you've always been saying. You're not sure Arians is coming back. But let's hasten to add, it would have to be on his own volition.
So right now,
he's not going to get fired. Now, Lee, I picked against the Bucks last week, against my better judgment.
And I'm going to do the same thing.
Because Jacksonville stunk, and I wanted to pick Jacksonville. It reminded me of my Nick Puglisi story. But I always got... Why does Jacksonville remind you of Puglisi? Puglisi said, no, you're not going to pick the Bucks to beat the Raiders. You're going to pick the Raiders to beat the Bucks in the Super Bowl. And in the newspaper, when the trip came out, it said 24-17, Raiders.
And then
I got to go in the Buck locker room. And here we go. So I always got the voice of Javier and those characters. Please don't pick the Bucks to win. You are a jinx. Well, I might be a jinx, but I'm also 3-9. I'm getting killed over here, DeKemper. So I'm going to go first, Lee. Well, Indy's got something to play for.
Yeah.
In your mind, the Bucks have something to play for in terms of the playoffs. I got to stick to Javier's guns. I got to pick Indy again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're better than Jacksonville.
Yes.
It's not going to be 25-0 at the half. The Bucks haven't played well at home. They only got one home win.
That's why it's called dinner depression.
They are favored, Lee. They are favored. Boy, they might be favored in three of the last four games. The game at Detroit might be pick 'em, and I think they'll be favored against Atlanta. And Houston's a pretty good team. The Bucks won't be favored in that game.
No, Houston's a very good team.
Yeah, they're a good team. Just ask Brady. So I'm going. You heard me, people. You heard me. Colts 23-20. Colts. Lee, are you going to finally pick the Bucks to win a game?
No, I'm siding with you. The Colts are still playing for the playoffs. The Colts are a better team than Jacksonville. The Colts are a better coach team than Jacksonville.
But
I think Marone's done.
They're not an elite team, the Colts,
They're not an elite team, but up until last week, I would say they were a playoff team. Now I'm not so sure. But they still have a chance to make the playoffs. They're a better team than Jacksonville. They're a better coach than Jacksonville. I think Marone's toast. I really do. I would be surprised if he finishes the season with the job. Really.
Frank Reich's a good coach.
That's what I'm saying. The Colts are a better coach team than the Jaguars. Colts 30, Bucks 24.
What do you think of a little game within the game with Vita Vea going up against Quentin Nelson on occasion?
That'll be fun to watch.
Won't that be fun?
By the way, speaking of Vea, you brought this up. Now, a lot of people were screaming for this Derwin James. They didn't want Vea. And Bucks take Vea instead. People are still outraged about that. I don't think Jason Light swung and missed there.
No, absolutely not. And I'm not knocking James because his second year was wiped out by an injury. He had a fantastic rookie season.
It was almost the opposite of Vea.
Yeah.
Vea's rookie season was marred with an injury.
Yeah.
And this year, James' second year, he was marred with an injury.
You know, I think you could make this argument, Lee, and I don't...
Wait, are you looking for a burglar here? I already keep looking over your shoulder.
No, I see...
What, is that woman walking by again?
I see the guy from Fox 13. He's filming. He's got his camera out. He might be looking through this car to look at us.
What are you paranoid about? We're not kissing.
The heck's he doing out in the parking lot with a camera going?
They're always filming in the parking lot. What are you talking about?
What's he filming?
He always does that.
He's filming a 77 Ford. Well, what's he filming?
Is that woman walking back there, Ira,
She's gone. And so are the cheerleaders over there, DeKemper. Vita Vea was not a swing and a miss by Jason Light. It was a solid hit by Jason Light.
Double in the gap.
You know, solid double. I think James is going to have a very good NFL career. But I feel just as strongly about Vea. And, you know, Lee, judging by your equation, I'll take a D lineman over a DB any day.
You and your math.
You know, you can't knock Vea either. He's a defensive lineman.
Is Vea worthy of Pro Bowl?
I think he's a year away. He's getting nothing but getting better. They're going to find different ways to move him around.
Now, what could
hurt him is losing two or three teammates off that D-line.
Yeah.
It could hurt him.
Oh, very much so. Just thought we were talking about with Barrett, same thing. With Vea, are you saying he's not worthy of a Pro Bowl, or are you saying is you know how the world of the NFL works, and that he's a year away, meaning he may be playing Pro Bowl level, but he's probably a year away, meaning it takes a while for people to know who he is.
I don't think he has the recognition. Yeah,
bingo. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
He doesn't have the recognition, but I think he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. Mm-hmm. He's sucking up all the room inside. He's freeing up Devin White and Levante David to make the tackles, and that was the plan. That was the plan. Lee, I'll leave you on this. The guy that I think has resurrected his career, in a sense, during this last month, is Todd Bowles. We were killing Todd Bowles, and I think very fairly.
Was I killing him?
I was killing him. Mm-hmm. I was killing him because I didn't think he was matching the structure and the scheme to the talents of the players in the first half of the season.
See, I thought
that's supposed to be his thing.
Well, I always thought the front seven was playing well. I just didn't think the secondary was playing worth a hoot.
Well, you can't be that bad on defense and say 7 out of 11 guys are playing outstanding.
Okay.
I don't think you can. But Bowles is mixing it up. And the one thing that Brooks said it the other day, and nobody dissects a defensive scheme like Brooks breaks it down. He says Bowles is fooling a lot of people. He called it ghost alignments, ghost defenses. In other words, it looks like A, but it's really B.
Mm.
And he's confusing guys, including Matt Ryan, who's basically seen everything, just like a Drew Brees. Ryan's been around forever.
Yeah, he's seen it all.
That's one thing to fool Nick Foles. Bowles is getting more comfortable in knowing his personnel, and that always helps. Lee, you made the point. If they beat the Colts and look good doing it, you know what? People around this league might start talking about this franchise.
People's antenna might come up.
A little bit.
You like inside dirt, don't you, Ira?
I love inside
dirt. Well, it's not really dirt, but you like inside information. Well, there's a couple things I started pecking around, trying to scrape, and I took the garden hoe out to try to find out. There's two things. One, I wasn't convinced, but I thought this was a compelling argument, that the secondary turned around the moment that Vernon Hargreaves was benched and subsequently released. And I'm not a big believer in coincidences. I know we talked about this in our previous podcast. You didn't think it was a coincidence either. So I started using some sources, asking some people. Now, one person I talked to immediately thought I was implying that Hargreaves was a bad guy, a bad character.
Which you were not.
No, I was not. And this guy, first of all, Hargreaves wasn't an ass. He wasn't a bad dude. And that's not what I was getting at. And I was told about Hargreaves, and wasn't so much that the Bucs got rid of Hargreaves and all of a sudden the secondary blossomed because he was an awful player. Now, he wasn't playing well.
He wasn't.
This person said. It wasn't that he was a bad guy. It wasn't that the secondary didn't magically turn around because of Hargreaves' inability to cover, though that was a factor. This person thought, and it's a person that works at one Buc place, Hargreaves being released, and they had evidence. They had a reason why he was released. He was loafing. That was the Bucs have been crystal clear about that. Indirectly, this person thought the Bucs secondary is playing better because the guy was an eye opener. Like, whoa, a first round pick got released because he was loafing. I better bust my tail. So it's not that these guys were loafing before, but these guys are like, I better do what these guys are saying. They got rid of a first round pick. I'm not safe either. Now, the Bucs didn't plan it that way, but they think that's part of it. Sort of like the ripple effect.
Well, Arian struck again with Rojo last week. Sent another message.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks talked about that the other day, and he loves the consistency of Arians in terms of accountability. Now, some Bucs skeptics, Lee, would say, well, he never takes a shot at Jameis Winston from the podium. Yeah, he says interception. That one wasn't his fault. Donovan Smith's missed blocks. He don't sit.
Well, who are you going to replace him with?
Yeah. Yeah, it was easy to make the move with Rojo. It was easy.
Well, with Rojo, you got nothing behind him, and some may argue you got nothing ahead of him. With Donovan Smith, I mean, come on. You going to go out there and put the Earl of Watford out there? My gosh, they don't want to kill Jameis.
Watford made some tackles the other day, Lee.
Made some tackles? Is he supposed to make tackles? come on. You're going to bench Jameis because Ryan Griffith?
He opened a couple of holes the other day, Lee.
At least with Hargreaves, they had picks behind him. So, I mean, come on. The only people that would say that are your devout Jameis haters who think a high school quarterback would do better.
Can I talk you out of picking the Colts for this game, DeKemper?
No, because I'd want to jinx the Bucks. Here's another thing I found out. And one of these
By the way, Rock Riley's kicking our ass.
Rock Riley's a good man. One of the people that brought this up to me, they brought up Carl Nassib to me. They said, this guy, what's going on with Nassib? He's playing so well. And I thought maybe it was because he was healthy. You know, so he was dinged up earlier in the year.
He's a funny player, this guy. I look at him and I say, this guy's not a starter, but he makes plays.
He's a weird cat in the locker room. He's a strange dude.
Nobody talks to him. Nobody talks.
Well, because he won't talk to us. And when he does, he's very kind. He's an asshole. I'll just be blunt. He's an asshole. So, you know, if you're not going to get anything from him, then he's going to be an asshole on top of it. I want nothing to do with you. Hell with you. So I started asking around about Nassib. What's the magic elixir with Nassib? Why is he playing so well? Are you guys scheming him? What's going on? And I was told one of the reasons, of course, health is a factor, but also they have him on a pitch count. They have him on a rotation and they're keeping him fresh. And that's also another reason why he's making plays. He's fresh. I won't say he's fresh as a daisy. Yeah, he gets drained like everybody else, but he's not playing. He's not being asked to play every snap, and that helps out the team as well. It helps him out, and it helps the team out.
I want to make one more point, Lee, one final point. Lee, I can just hear some of the listeners screaming at me after I say this.
Uh-oh.
Screaming. Why did you say that? Why? Nobody's going to like this. You know what? You got to keep a little perspective. And I'm going to say it right now. They're healthy as can be.
Yeah.
They're healthy as can be.
Yeah, they are healthy.
And you know, the fans go crazy. You're jinxing them. Don't say that. Lee, this is 2 years in a row. And I'm looking at the offensive line, like I always do. Nobody gets hurt. I mean,
that's
intact.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean, it's amazing for 1 year. Now you're talking 2 years. Well, Especially when 34-year-old DeMar Dotson is healthy.
You know, the right guard might be hurt a little bit. We'll see about
him. Kappa did break an arm, you're right. But still, he came back. I just remembered this. He sat out part of the game because he had a bum arm. And I forgot all about that. I should have asked him today. He was there in the locker room, son of a gun.
Oh, you're too busy talking to Nassib. all right, Lee, I will see you Sunday at the game. And we will do a post-game podcast.
Yes.
After the game.
Yes.